Do you stand up for social and cultural injustice at your workplace? Or do you look the other way? The results can be downright shocking, toxic, and explosive. This is our topic today on Workplace Radio for Us All.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
You are tuned in to Workplace Radio for Us All.
Hear me now.
Radio station everyone loves.
I love them.
Workplace Radio for Us All. Here we go.
Radio.
Workplace radio. You know that's right. Here we go. You are tuned in to Workplace Radio for Us All. And you know that's right. The baddest radio station in all the land.
Workplace Radio for Us All. This is Tay. We asked a question before our podcast got started. And the question was, do you stand up for social and cultural injustice at your workplace? Or do you look the other way? Well, I want to say that I do believe that there are so many out there that do stand up for social and cultural injustice, and they do speak up. But I also believe that many look the other way. And one of the main reasons why they look the other way, a lot of time, is fear of retaliation, fear of being fired, and wanting to protect themselves and their family by keeping a low profile. What do you think, Tom?
One thing I could say about that would be people need to definitely begin to speak up and don't be afraid to voice your opinion. After all, it is your right. You don't have to sit back and let people just walk all over you. You know, you can stand up for your rights. Like, there was something that took place and, you know, dealing with the television and dealing with the theaters where people of color always had to endure certain type of jokes or certain type of clowny type of jokes or certain kind of blackface. And the strangest thing about it, it looked like that was the only type of jobs we could get. Like, if you ever remember buckwheat, you know, even though buckwheat was a, you know, character that came on television, to African-American people back in the day, especially in the South area, to be called buckwheat was disrespectful. Or another thing, as much as people love watermelon, and watermelon is very delicious, I happen to love it myself, but it is an insult for somebody to relate to you as a watermelon. And in other cultures or other race, there could be things that we don't know about, things that never been told to us. Like, but the thing that I spoke on was definitely talking about, you know, television and studios and whatnot. There was another one. What about the Taco Bell dog? The little dog was talking about
that chihuahua, huh?
Yeah, that little chihuahua. Now, the thing about it, why did they stop that commercial? It was an insult to somebody, because that was related towards they was talking about the Mexican people. So that was stopped. There was also, I heard they had they was going to bring on a commercial with a monkey, trying to sell chicken. Now chicken, in a lot of times, is related to black people or chicken, but it also related. Then what about the monkey? I remember when President Barack Obama had somebody had drew a cartoon, and they showed a monkey out in the street that had been shot, and that was related to our president. That's, you know, they was, that's who they was,
our former president.
Yeah, our former president. That's who they was making a joke about. So, but those same type of things, and the person that did that thought it was funny, thought it was a joke, but it was insulting to somebody. How about you working on a job, and back in the days, people would see a person that's gay, and it was funny. They would crack all kind of jokes and say all kind of stuff around that person and make that person feel uncomfortable, and it, to everybody, it was normal. But it's something that people was never, especially during that time, wasn't trained about.
So, insensitivity, actually.
Exactly. And people wasn't trained about it. Now, my thing is, how do we learn about each other and what offend one another? How, what are the ways that we could be trained on that? What can the job do?
You know, this cultural sensitivity training that's being done, you have, let's look at Starbucks. There was a worker that made an inappropriate comment and attitude about certain things. And what did Starbucks do? They set aside one day, they closed all their shops because it was just that serious to them. Let us stop this now. So I got to put my, you know, take my hat off to them. They saw something happen. They acted quickly on it. And they had cultural sensitivity training across all of the Starbucks all over the world, I believe. And so that's just one example of a company that's taking it very seriously about the cultures of the customers that they serve. I mean, these are important steps that needs to be done. And a lot of people just don't speak up. But what they need to do is speak out about these injustices, about the things about being treated a certain way, because it can be offensive to someone else. And talk to people. You have your congressmen, you have your senators, and they have these votes and proposals and things like that. Make your voice known that this should not be. Speak up, speak out. Vote against injustice. You can vote with your dollars. You know, where you contribute, where you make your contributions, etc. Talk to people, let them know what's happening and how unfair it is to this particular culture. And I don't even have to be in that particular culture to be offended by something someone else has said about them. And I'm not Muslim, but yet and still, I don't want to just see somebody being mistreated because they have a certain garment on and they're doing certain things, or they have certain cultures, customs that they're related, that they do as part of their custom. We have to have a voice, and we have to care for other people. And communication and training is very important in those endeavors. What do you think, Tom?
I've seen people voice their opinion, and their opinion was only important to them. It appeared that the person that they was voicing their opinion to didn't feel like what they were saying was that important. Like, for an example, if I had a problem with another person, I didn't like something that person did, or that person treated me different from the rest of the people that was around on that job. Let's just take it that it's a coworker. The coworker happened to be Hispanic. Most of the job population is Hispanic. But I noticed he treat everybody good, everybody equal, except me. And it boils down to a point where he informed all of the Hispanic workers about what they need to do or what's going to take place next that need to be performed, but he don't tell me anything, and nor do the other workers tell me. So on this note, the supervisor come there to the job site because it was reported that I wasn't helping, but I wasn't informed that I need to be there to help. So what would wind up happening? The supervisor saying, okay, where were you? I was on the other job assignment in another location doing primarily what I was hired to do because I wasn't informed that this other, you know, worker needed help who happened to be Hispanic. Now, I had told the supervisor, I said, listen, this is not the first time this had happened, and I've filed a complaint about this, which didn't get anywhere. So we began to talk about it, and we went on to discuss certain things. But I began to notice that the supervisor began to take the worker's side, which the supervisor, too, is Hispanic. He took the worker's side. Now, I'm not saying that the supervisor was, you know, trying to be racist, and I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying is he didn't understand my point of me and this worker not seeing eye to eye, and this worker treating me different. The supervisor saying like, oh, well, he don't understand and this, that. I said, okay, I understand that. But nobody told me. I wasn't informed. So as it turned out, I began to tell him what was going on. In fact, the worker was in the wrong. But it flipped it back around to I was in the wrong. So the last thing that I said, and anybody listening to this podcast is going to know exactly, you know, that was there or worked for this job that I work at, but I'm just keeping it real. It is let the chips fall where they fall. The last words I said out of my mouth as I was punching out, if I spoke Spanish, would it make a difference? That's the only thing that got their attention. No other words came out my mouth offended them until I said, if I spoke Spanish, would it make a difference? Because I was the only black person in that room, did not speak Spanish, non-Spanish. Everybody else was Spanish. Everybody knew what everybody was talking about, except me. But in the meanwhile, I'm wrong. So am I wrong for being black? Am I wrong for not speaking Spanish? Or is I'm just wrong? So therefore, it turned into a big thing. Now, in fact, it was two supervisors there. What wound up happening the next day, oh, we didn't like what you said. I mean, it was a big uproar. Everybody just, oh, what he trying to say? What he trying to say? They didn't hear nothing else I said but that. That's all. And they speak perfect English. They didn't understand. See, now, that boiled down to, and some of y'all are not going to agree with what I'm saying. No, they're not prejudiced. The culture, they're just used to just, you know, just sitting there and let it, you know, just let it go. They didn't understand that when you speak Spanish, and I know you speak English, that's offensive. We are in an area where you got mix of people, but we all speak, most of the people speak English. You got three blacks sitting in the room. The whole room, everybody's speaking in Spanish. Or either I could walk into the office and it goes into Spanish. Now, I'm accustomed to that and I don't say anything. You know, most of the blacks, we don't say anything. We just, yeah, okay, we punch and go head out. But the day that somebody complained, because we allow that, the day that somebody complained, it won't be understood because it always have been allowed. We always allowed that and nobody said anything. Or would it go down to, I know I spoke about the Spanish, but now let me flip that around. The same young man or old man, whatever you might want to call him, you know, whoever it was, went to training. And the thing is about the training is a very important training because it's a safety training, OSHA training. But what wound up happening, the training was in English. Now, being a part of the National Safety Council, I've had the chance to do some studying and do some reading up and some, looking at some stuff over the internet. It speaks about how effective is the training. So this young man, old man, whatever, is sitting there doing a training that he had to sign and say that he attended that training and he understood. One problem. Nobody there to interpretate for him, and nor do he speak English, very little English. So that's another way to me. I'm looking at like, okay, that also is another form with, to me, that's a discrimination, because why are you going to have a person in a class, sending them to the class just to, and no, not prejudice. It's just the company want their signature on the paper to say, oh yeah, we gave them the training. But in the meantime, it's violating his rights. Because just because he don't understand, as long as you sign that paper, that's all we want. So it's things like that on the job, but nobody stood up and said, why is he in this class and why there's nobody speaking for him to, you know, translate for him. It was just like, sign the paper, take a seat, and that's it. Now, should someone have spoke up for him is the question. When you see somebody else being mistreated or being misled, I won't say mistreated, he was misled. Because it's misleading a person when you having a person to fill out a paper, they don't even know what they're signing. Being given a class, now if he break a policy or one of the codes there, they can go back and say, well, listen, you attended the class. We instructed you that you are not allowed to do X, Y, and Z. But in the meanwhile, here you are, didn't know what you signed, didn't know what the people was talking about. So, but the job used that part of saying, okay, we're going to educate them, we're going to give them the training, but doesn't fulfill it through like it should be done. Because, you know, a lot of the trend, like, okay, the safety director, I know he speaks English, but he don't speak Spanish. So I think that he could do the English part, but there need to be somebody that's going to, you know, speak Spanish. So,
you know, I understand what you're saying. You know, what I like about what you were saying is the fact that here it is, you brought it one way, for those that are non-Hispanic, and how there needs to be more communication about helping out with a particular task that you know nothing about. No one relayed that information to you. Everything was in Spanish. So how would an English-speaking person understand the task that was being assigned in Spanish and not helping that person because you don't speak Spanish? But then the whole thing is that that's something that should have been a reminder. Well, wait a minute. He doesn't speak Spanish. I need you to do X, Y, and Z, or to help X, Y, this particular person. And that could have been avoided. Instead, like you said, well, if I was Hispanic, and so that's when people took notice. And it's like, and then got offensive or defensive. And sometimes there's trigger words that take notice. And that just so happened to be a trigger word. And so what happens is that dealing with culture and sensitivity, culture competency and culture awareness. I know these are all of these terms, culture. But what happens is that we have to be mindful of who we're working with. And the supervisors to be mindful of their English speaking, their Spanish speaking, and then some that have little bit of English, And they don't understand a lot of English that needs to be mindful, as you pointed out. Here it is, this training, and you're all in this particular training, OSHA training, and you know that same young man, older man, whatever the case may be, doesn't speak that much English. So he's not going to get that training, and it's not going to be effective and fair to him. And it's like, that's why it's important to speak up and speak up for others. And as an educator and as a trainer, a training specialist, if I didn't speak Spanish, and a lot of my target audience was Hispanic, I would have someone there interpreting that training as I'm giving that training, have someone right there repeating it in Spanish, and as well as having literature, training literature in English and in Spanish. So that way, they have different ways. Some people will listen, they can listen to it, and they can grasp what's being told. But then there's some that have to read it. They want to read over everything to make sure of certain things. There needs to be a different approach, a more effective way of reaching audiences that are English and in Spanish to cover everyone, because everyone matters. And not one nationality should be made to feel, or one culture should be made to feel a certain way, or signing a document. Now, that Hispanic brother there, what's going to happen is that he signs stating that he knows what that training was about, but in actuality, all he did was what he was told, sign the paper. And they escribe, you know, they write their name right there, and then that's it, solamente. And, oh, you know, that's it. And, it's sad because of the fact that if it comes a time for something to be done, and if that person did not do it correctly, they can hold that against him. And then at the same time, here it is, you're being assigned to do a task that you know nothing about. But if it was only translated to you from Spanish to English, it would have avoided all of that. And you could have been wherever it was that you were supposed to have been, that you didn't know that you were supposed to be at. So there needs to be some kind of awareness, and to make it fair for everyone.
And one of the things that I think that that's a major problem on a lot of the jobs is they don't have the people all together talking and getting acquainted, really knowing each other and having classes studying about each other's background. To me, they pick the stereotype things about each other, and those are the things that they run with. Now, I could say about my job is that the majority of the African-American workers that work there, if you ask them, are their rights being violated, or if the job is prejudiced towards blacks, I would say a 95% of the workers on that job would say yes. Now, that's a large and majority of the number of people that would have that same output would say yes. Now, on that note, I would have to say, okay, if you feel that way, what are the reasons why you feel like that? And you would hear so many different stories of why they feel like that. I mean, and then if you sat down and talked to them, well, why don't you go and talk to management and let an HR and let them know how you feel, and let's go as a group. No one wants to do that because they would say this. And I don't know what it has something to do with the culture of how we came along from passed from generation to generation. But they would go, they're not going to listen to us, man. Look at us. We black. I've heard that over and over and over, especially in my workplace. And I'm like, I don't believe that's true. That's something that's been planted in you. You believe no one is going to listen to you because you're black. That's something that you was told. That's something maybe by your parents you was told. Maybe that's something you was told by your spouse, that we can't do this because of we're black. But I'm here to tell you today that if we believe that, then Martin Luther King would have never did nothing. Malcolm X would have never did nothing. And we could go on and on and on naming people that took a stand and knew they could do something, and it had nothing to do with their color. So if you feel that your rights are being violated, you should be able to stand up and say, hey, listen, we can make the job a more comfortable place to work by getting the things out that offend you. Say, hey, listen, this is happening in the workplace. I don't like it when I come in and I hear people using the N-word. Or I don't like it when I come in and you hear people, you know, speaking against gay people. Or, you know, and I'm going to have to say I'm keeping it real because Workplace Radio, we do keep it real. A lot of jobs, they watch black workers harder because something about the black worker have been put out there that black people are lazy. Black people don't work. Black people love to sleep. That's some of the stuff been put out there. And I'm like, but we're not going to just, okay, like I said, I'm going to keep it real. So I'm going to hit you with another one, and some of y'all ain't going to like it, but I'm going to tell you like it is. What do they say about Hispanic people? They carry knives. They steal. They're breaking your car. This is things that's being said. What do they say about Mexican people? Ask Trump. They are illegal here. That's what Trump is saying. So, and that right there is why people have stereotypes about people. Certain things are being said. And once people get that information, they run with it. And first of all, how can you say somebody is illegal when we all are immigrants in this country? So that's the first part I'm trying to understand. How could, and that same type of stuff boils over into the workplace. The workplace is, especially if you in large cities, New York, are you out in L.A., you know, California, those areas. And I can name a couple other, you know, big places that has urban cities. You would see multi races of people that immigrated from somewhere, from somewhere else. So to target just a single bunch of people and say they are illegal. So that's, and then when the people get over into the country and get their papers and what they need, they, you know, I'm just keeping it real. This is what's happening in a lot of the workplaces. They put up with a lot of stuff that they don't have to, because they struggled so hard to get here, to this great American dream, a place where racism is still on the prowl, where you are still judged by your color or how much money you have, where you are still judged by where you are from. And they get here and it wind up being that, okay, this is something that they had so good that they just, you know, keep working, putting up with unjust. Putting up with, you know, all different type of things that's going on. And it's really tough. Because I see people that come, they doing the job, they working. Being exposed to chemicals and stuff that would take them out in the long run, but because how they came over, even though they legal, you know, I would believe, but they don't want to be singled out or single their family out because it's so much pressure put on certain races. But it creates a hostile workplace because you got a bunch of people that they can't stand up to anything, and a few people that is working on certain jobs, you go through stuff because you don't have the support and people standing up that need to be, you know, standing up.
You know, as we mentioned though, you know, in today's topic, the results can be downright shocking, toxic, and explosive. And just like you mentioned about people taking a stand and Martin Luther King, I remember something from his I Have a Dream speech. And said, "I have a dream," said the man with no gun, "of equality for everyone." And so just that short clip right there is the fact that even back in the 60s of wanting equality for everyone, we still want that in this day and age, equality for everyone, social injustice to stop, people to be treated fairly, people to be speaking up. These are the things that we need in culture sensitivity training in the worksite. We have to do better. We have to educate better. We have to communicate better. We all have to get along better. This is Workplace Radio for us all. We want to thank you for listening and go to our website at www.workplaceradioforusall.com. That's www.workplaceradio4usall.com. And if you have a topic that you would like us to discuss, or you would like to be a guest on our show, send us an email at workplaceradioforusall@gmail.com. That's workplaceradio4usall@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.